Time for your KDNK local newscast for this Monday morning, February 6th. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. State lawmakers have introduced more than 200 bills so far this legislative session as part of our Capitol Conversation Series. Benda Berkland talks to State House reporters about some of the more interesting measures.
Joining me, we have Joey Bunch, a reporter with ColoradoPolitics.com, and Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press. Kristen, a lot of bills so far and still a lot more to come throughout the session. Have you seen a lot of surprises, or are there things you anticipated?
There's one big theme in our state and every state, which is a big question mark over our new president, about how states are going to have to respond. So one of the first priorities for our Senate Republicans here is to repeal the health care exchange. This is how people shop for insurance under Obamacare. Republicans want to undo it. They're going to run into a big brick wall on the other side. Nobody knows what the state is going to have to do to respond to any changes coming from Washington. So I think it's... nobody's surprised that we all have to just sit and wait to find out what we do.
One of the issues that this comb-over tsunami could bring, though, is hundreds of billions of dollars for transportation money. But we're going to have to wait on that. And I think one of the things that legislators in this building agree on is this is a session that they have to find solutions on how to fund transportation. How we get there, though, is still a big question mark.
Do you expect it'll be quite a bit later into the session when we actually see some substantive proposals from each side?
Well, it depends. You know, if they're going to take a lot of money out of the state budget, then we're going to have to hear those things in March. If they're going to refer a ballot measure to the voters in November, which I think we will, I think we'll see a combination of those two things. That may fall on the last day of the session. It just depends on how much of the legislators want to fight about transportation.
And Kristen, what other bills have stood out to you?
There is a really interesting bill about marijuana that would allow marijuana pot clubs statewide, and it would say that they could be exempt from the Clean Indoor Air Act if they had proper ventilation. It has Republican and Democratic sponsors. Everybody seems to think it doesn't stand a chance this year, but that talk about public use is going to not go away. Just like the budget, just like health care, just like transportation, this all depends on how our new president approaches all this. We have not seen yet, though, these attempts to crack down on what the governor calls the gray market, cracking down on marijuana caregivers. We haven't seen those bills yet, so I don't know how it's going to look.
And how do the pot clubs work?
They would look sort of like cigar bars, where you could, you know, you have to be over 21, and you... basically, they have to have this really expensive ventilation, but you could have a social use club. Maybe they could serve food. Maybe they just serve pot. But it would be kind of what we think of as an Amsterdam-style coffee shop.
Keeping with that theme of vice, you know, we've seen a couple of bills on liquor again this session. Representative Steve Lebsack has a bill that would allow local government, you know, cities, counties, to set the hour closing time at their bars. Now, that came up a couple of years ago, and Cassandra Duran, who's now the House Speaker, she carried that bill, but it got so larded up with amendments that it didn't pass. And we have another bill that would allow restaurants and hotels to sell bottles of wine, which I'm surprised that they can't already. And I'm also surprised that we spend so much time still talking about liquor laws. That was the dominant issue of the last session, and it looks like we'll be talking about it again this session.
And then there's a lot of bills that we've had these themes before and they may not pass. One of them, guns in schools and allowing teachers or other personnel to be trained and carry a firearm. It's going to come through the Republican-controlled Senate.
Sure, Republicans say this is a new thing, that it would not really allow more guns in schools. What it really aims to do is to better train security guards and people that can have guns now on campus. But of course, there is a caveat in there that also your staff, teachers, crossing guards, even cafeteria ladies, could be some of these people that get the additional training. And Republicans have a fair point. They say, look, Democrats who oppose guns in schools always say that there's not proper training, that kindergarten teacher doesn't have the training that she needs if a terrorist busts in the door and starts shooting children. So here's the training. I'm very suspicious that Democrats are going to go for this. They'll just see it as a guns in school bill.
Thanks. That was Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press and Joey Bunch with ColoradoPolitics.com. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capitol Conversation.
The Newcastle area has been shaken, and so have residents, by three small earthquakes since October. The largest occurred last week at magnitude 3.3. Garfield County is also home to 70 oil and gas waste injection wells. All are the quakes and wells related. Nearly 40 local residents showed up at last week's Energy Advisory Board meeting in Rifle to find out. KDNK's Amy Hatmarsh has more.
Stuart Ellsworth, a senior engineer with the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, or COGCC, was last week's guest at the monthly EAB meeting in Rifle. He was there to talk about the commission's underground injection program. He began his presentation defining the difference between enhanced recovery wells.
The idea is you inject the fluid, you create a fluid front and move that oil in front of that, and then you have a withdrawal well. So waters are cycling.
And disposal wells.
Disposal wells are class 2, which is an EPA-defined classification. Class 2 is for oil and gas waste. And those are injected into the ground, and the fluid remains.
Garfield County has 70 disposal wells. Ellsworth discussed the COGCC permitting process for injection wells, monitoring requirements, and gave some history of human-induced seismic events, including at the Rocky Mountain Arsenal and in Rangeley decades ago, when high volumes of liquid were injected into low-porosity granite basement rock.
As a result of that, USGS got real excited, and they said, hey, we can now induce events and release energy at the San Andreas Fault. So they engaged with an oil company by the name of Chevron in the Rangeley field that had a water flood. They just injected until they caused the rocks to crack, and sure enough, they proved man could do it. You can pump at a rate to crack the rocks.
He said that quakes induced by deep injection are caused by pressured water inside the porous rock, which causes the rock to slip. He added that this is not what is happening in the Newcastle area for two reasons. First, the injection wells in Garfield County do not drill into basement rock.
The injection zone is at approximately 8,200 feet. The basement is at a little over 17,800 feet.
Over 9,000 feet of sedimentary rock separates the injection zone from the basement.
The next thing to look at is injection volumes. So if anybody's going to inject over 10,000 barrels a day, we're going to require seismic monitoring. The wells in this area, no one well is consistent, but they're all injecting less than 100,000 barrels in a month.
A number of events within a 2.5-kilometer radius of an injection well triggers COGCC's green light threshold. But, said Ellsworth, if a quake is greater than magnitude 2.5, it raises more concern.
We're going to start actively engaging with the operators, saying, hey, we want detailed injection. We want detailed pressure. Hey, we want you to actively monitor. We're going to call up USGS and do a review.
A member of the Energy Advisory Board was the first to ask what was probably on everyone's mind.
Do you think that the Newcastle earthquake on Christmas Day and the one recently was caused by injection wells?
There's nothing that draws my attention as an indicator. The Cocobelly well and all the surrounding wells were not injecting over their injection pressure. They were not excessively injecting. And then when you take a perusal through the geology, that there's 9,000 feet. We see in induced events, they're injecting right at that basement.
Leslie Robinson, director of the Grand Valley Citizens Alliance, or GVCA, told KDNK that the group's main concerns were whether there was a correlation between the local earthquakes and injection wells and if the temblers had damaged the concrete casings inside boreholes. After Ellsworth's presentation, she says she feels reassured that the COGCC is aware of the situation in Newcastle, but GVCA will keep an eye on future quakes. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
KDNK would like to thank Marilyn Gleason for providing the audio for this story. The new survey shows that in middle and high schools, 85% of LGBTQ students experience verbal harassment and nearly two-thirds experience discrimination. Erica Lattis has more.
Schools that take steps to reduce bullying and provide other supports for their LGBTQ students are seeing better education outcomes, but the nation's middle and high schools can still be described as hostile environments, according to a new Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network survey. David Danishevsky with the network says even homophobic comments can have profound effects.
When students are experiencing these hostile environments, they're actually missing school more often. They tend to have lower GPAs, they report lower self-esteem, higher rates of depression, and they don't really have a strong sense of school belonging.
The survey found 85% of LGBTQ students were harassed verbally, nearly two-thirds experienced discrimination, and more than 1 in 10 was physically assaulted. Schools with comprehensive anti-bullying policies and sanctioned gay straight alliances saw lower levels of victimization. Mary McDonough with the GLBT Community Center of Colorado says beyond punitive anti-bullying programs, a cultural shift is needed to challenge perspectives that label some students as outsiders.
And I also think it takes curriculum. It takes LGBTQ students being able to see themselves in lessons, in history, and in social studies. You know, they have a history, they have people who are like them that have made positive impacts.
The survey found only 1 in 5 schools taught classes featuring positive representations of LGBT topics. More than half of respondents say they've heard homophobic remarks from school staff members, and the frequency of staff intervention in incidents decreased from the group's previous survey in 2013. Danishevsky says school administrators need to be held accountable and ensure that teachers and other staff know how to handle bullying and harassment when it happens.
We really recommend that there's a increase in professional development for teachers and other school administrative staff to really understand the issues at hand and, you know, the unique challenges that LGBTQ students might be facing.
He says although many students still experience harassment and discrimination, the survey shows that when schools take steps to support these students, climates can be transformed so that all students can thrive. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
The Garfield County Community Development staff on Friday recommended that the Planning Commission deny a request from URSA Resources for a zoning change in the Battlement Mesa founding PUD document. The energy company wants to put its first injection well on the B pad, less than 300 feet from the Colorado River and upstream from Battlement Mesa's drinking water intake. According to the blog From the Sticks, URSA said recently that it would eliminate the M pad, which is next to the 6th hole on the community's golf course, if residents would agree to the zoning change and stop protesting the proposed injection well. At a community meeting last week, residents said no. The County Planning Commission takes a look at the proposal at a public hearing on Wednesday night.